The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter Number 18, Text Number 33, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on October 1st, 2010, in Punjabi Bagh, India.
So, today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter number 18, text number 33. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yasmin na shankyeya vishesha nama. Rupakritauka vipikalpiteyam. Sankhyaya tattva drishapaniyate. Tasmai nama sankhyaya darshanayate iti. Yasminna sankhyaya vishesha nama. Rupakritauka vipikalpiteyam. Sankhyaya tatta dishapaniyate. Tasmai nama sankhyaya narshanayate iti. Tasmai nama sankhyaya narshanayate iti. Tasmai nama sankhyaya narshanayate iti. Translation and purport by the Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. O my Lord, your name, form, and bodily features are expanded in countless forms. No one can determine exactly how many forms exist. Yet you yourself, in your incarnation, as the learned scholar Kapiladev, have analyzed the cosmic manifestation as containing 24 elements. Therefore, if one is interested in Sankhya philosophy, by which one can enumerate the different truths, he must hear it from you. Unfortunately, non-devotees simply count the different elements and remain ignorant of your actual form. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purport. Philosophers and scientists have been trying to study the entire cosmic situation and have been theorizing and calculating in different ways for millions and millions of years. However, the speculative research work of a so-called scientist or philosopher is always interrupted when he dies, and the laws of nature go on without regard for his work. For billions of years, changes take place in the material creation, until at last the whole universe is dissolved and remains in an unmanifested state. Constant change and destruction, bhutva bhutva praliyate, is perpetually going on in nature, yet the material scientists want to study natural laws without knowing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the background of nature. As Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita 9:10, Maya dakshena prakriti suyate sucharacharam hetunanena konteya jagadvi parivartate. This material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, and it is producing all moving and unmoving beings. By its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. Now the material creation is manifest. Eventually it will be annihilated and remain for many millions of years in a dormant state. And finally, it will again be created. This is the law of nature. Vandeham. Shri Guru. Shri Jata. Bada Kamala. Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Raghunatanvita Jiva Sadaita Zavaruta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha The Bhagavatam says no one can determine the extent of Krishna's name, form, and bodily features. No one can determine these things. But yeah, the scientists, so-called scientists, they want to speculate and determine everything about this material world. Just like this one scientist. They call him the biggest brain in the world. Dr. Stephen Hawking. I call him Stephen Hee Hawking. You know, like an ass. Hee-haw, hee-haw, Stephen Hee Hawking. Dr. Hawking says that this universe comes out of absolutely nothing. This is his great discovery. It's just Sunyavadi philosophy, that's all, voidism. He thinks, now I'm a greatest scientist. I have understood that this whole universe is coming out of absolutely nothing. Now you have to give me the biggest recognition of being the greatest scientist in history because I've understood that everything comes out of absolutely nothing. Well, sorry, Dr. Hawking. You're wrong. The universe doesn't come out of absolutely nothing. Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 10, text number 8, Aham sravasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. So, the person Krishna and absolutely nothing, those are not the same thing. I'm sorry, Dr. Hawking, they're not the same thing. You can't say that Krishna is absolutely nothing or that absolutely nothing is Krishna. There's a difference. Absolutely nothing doesn't play a flute. Have you ever heard of absolutely nothing playing the flute very nicely? Oh, I had absolutely nothing. Played the flute the other day. It was so beautiful. Absolutely nothing. Doesn't have a threefold bending form. Doesn't wear a yellow dhoti. Absolutely nothing. Doesn't speak the words of the Bhagavad Gita. So this idea that everything comes from absolutely nothing is absolutely preposterous. All his relish, what Prabhupada told us on Venice Beach. He said, the more you kick Darwin in the face, the more you make spiritual advancement. So when I read this purport today, I got so excited that now I have a chance to kick the scientists in the face once again. Ki jai. Those rascals. They're misleading the entire world. Why? Is it wrong to do scientific research? No. You have to go about it the proper way. They are misleading because they are promoting sense gratification. That's why it's wrong. If you take God out of the picture, and everything is just happening by chance, then there's no responsibility. I don't get any reaction for anything I do. It's all happening by chance. You see? I can be kind, I can be cruel, it doesn't matter, because it's all the same. It's all happening by chance. Their philosophy destroys morality, it destroys God consciousness. It simply promotes hedonism. The hedonistic people love this material science because it gives them full freedom. There's no God watching over them, seeing what they're doing. Now I can do whatever I want. Prabhupada told us in Vrindavan, he said, Krishna has a book and he's noting everything that you do. That's for the devotees. And for the non-devotees, Yamaraj has his books. And he's noting everything that you do. That's it. So we have a choice. We can be in Krishna's book, or we can be in Yamaraj's book. Which book do you want to be in? You see, we have that choice at every minute. Well, I'm thinking one thought now. Will this thought be noted in Krishna's book or in Yamaraj's book? You see? I'm speaking some words now. Will these words be noted in Krishna's book or Yamaraj's book? I'm performing this action now. Will it be noted in Krishna's book or in Yamaraj's book? So we have that choice. So their rascal scientists, so-called science, simply justifies unrestricted sense gratification. Prabhupada says, therefore, fool's paradise. They're thinking, now I can enjoy. Because there's no God in control. What is Krishna? Krishna predicted these scientists. Actually, as Prabhupada says, these material speculators, scientists, philosophers, they've been going on for millions and millions of years. It's nothing new. For millions and millions of years, they've been carrying on with their nonsense. Krishna describes that nonsense in Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 13, text number 7. Asatyam apatishtam te jagadahur anishvadam aparaspara sambhutam kim anyat kama haitukam. They say that this world is unreal. You see, asatyam, with no foundation, apatishtam. And no God in control, anishvaram. Asatyam apratishtam te jagadahur anishvaram. It is unreal, there is no foundation, there is no God in control. They say it is produced of sex desire with no cause other than lust. Therefore, I have full justification now to gratify my lusty desires as much as I want. All we can say is, well, enjoy while you can, because Yamaraj is waiting, and his agents, the Yamadutas, they are waiting. And you will pay. They say, enjoy now, pay later. Well, they're going to pay. Even the so-called religionists, they will also pay. They say, but I accepted Jesus, therefore I'm free from all the reactions to my sins. But lip acceptance is not enough. One has to actually follow the path of the great acharyas. Lip acceptance is not enough. You have to change your heart, you see. You have to develop a taste for the consciousness of the Paravyama, the spiritual sky. What is the consciousness there? The consciousness there is one of pure bhakti. We have to develop that mood of pure bhakti, that taste for pure bhakti. Not that I can just make do some mechanical thing, you see, and become liberated. It's like there's one story, it's make-believe, but it's story, but it makes a point. The one family, they would go to church every Sunday. Every Sunday, they get the children up, they put on their Sunday best clothes, go to the church, and then after church, where do they go? McDonald's hamburgers, you see. Their Sunday ritual, church and McDonald's. Okay. So they're thinking, we have accepted Jesus, therefore we will all be saved. So even if they were saved, they wouldn't be, of course. But even if they were saved, for sake of argument, they find themselves in God's kingdom. They say, oh Lord, it's so wonderful to be here. Praise Jesus. And oh, by the way, where's the McDonald's? Well, sorry, we only have Govindas here, you know. You see, the point is, they would still have that taste for sense gratification. They wouldn't be satisfied in the spiritual world. As long as one has a taste for material sense gratification, one would feel uncomfortable and disoriented in the spiritual sky. You would feel, this is a miserable place. There's no facility for sense enjoyment. So the point is to actually qualify oneself to go back to God. One has to develop the consciousness of pure bhakti. Therefore, no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication and no gambling, and Krishna consciousness from the moment you wake up in the morning until the moment you go to bed at night. Whether you're a monk in the ashram or you're a householder earning a livelihood, the same consciousness. Turn your home into an ashram. You see. As Bhaktivinoda Thakura says, now I am working to maintain Krishna's household. So the idea is we have to completely Krishnaize our consciousness. We have to be living in the spiritual existence, in the spiritual sky, by our consciousness now. We have to be satisfied and fully absorbed in that Paravyama consciousness, that spiritual sky consciousness, right here, right now. You see? In other words, one does not have to wait until death to go back to Godhead. Back to God, it means right now. Papa taught us in Los Angeles that this was an initiation lecture. He said that from the very moment, from the very day of one's initiation, one achieves immortality. Not that I have to continue on in my mortal existence, and someday in the future when I leave my body I will become immortal. No. As soon as Prabhupada says, from the very day of initiation, your immortality begins at that point, provided you follow the instructions given by the spiritual master. If you deviate, then you spoil it. You see, you fall back into the realm of mortality. But if one faithfully carries out the orders one receives from one spiritual master, then from the very moment of accepting those beads in the hand, and accepting that spiritual name, you see, then one is living in immortality. So the devotee, if he's properly accepted his position as a disciple, he's living in immortality at every minute. He's dovetailing everything in Krishna's service, every thought, every word, every deed, in all times, all places, in all circumstances. He's always thinking, how can I please my spiritual master? How can I please Srila Prabhupada? How can I please the devotees? How can I please the acharyas? You see, he's always thinking how to give pleasure. Many times people have written me and they ask, well, you know, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, but I'm not getting any pleasure out of it. What am I doing wrong? Why am I not getting Nam Ruchi? What's wrong with my chanting? And I explain to them, the reason you're not getting pleasure is you're trying to get pleasure. You're trying to use the name to serve yourself. The key is chant Krishna's name to please Krishna. You're calling out to a person. It's not a mechanical machine to give you pleasure. It is a prayer to connect you with that supreme, all-powerful, all-beautiful, all-renowned, all-knowledgeable, all-wealthy, and all-famous person, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when we chant Hare Krishna, then kirtan, japa, whatever, when we chant Hare Krishna, we should call out to that person, you see, in such a way that he becomes very pleased, you see. And what is that way? Prabhupada said, you chant like a child crying for mother. You're calling out to your mother. You see, Hara, Radharani, and Krishna is father. We're calling out to mother and father, please save me. Please save me from this dungeon of sense gratification. Please save me from this lust, this anger, this greed, this madness, illusion, this envy. Please save me from being a rascal and not being completely surrendered to carrying out your will in all situations. Begging, pleading. See? We should chant in such a way that Krishna becomes very, very happy, you see, with our chanting. And then when we please Krishna, oh, then we really taste the nectar. So the way to taste the nectar is try to give the nectar. Try to satisfy Krishna by your utterance of love. You see. And then you will feel so happy, so satisfied. When Krishna becomes pleased, then we will become pleased. And if we try to become pleased separately from Krishna, even in so-called Krishna consciousness, that will not work. That will not work. We can only become pleased by giving pleasure to that reservoir of all pleasure, Lord Sri Krishna. So, this is the great good fortune of Srila Prabhupada, that he is sharing with everyone. He has Krishna, he possesses Krishna, because he allows, he places himself fully as the possession of Krishna. Krishna places himself as fully the possession of Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada then is giving Krishna to us, you see. And he's giving us the duty that we should give Krishna to others. This is the most wonderful service we can render to Srila Prabhupada. When we have received Krishna from Srila Prabhupada, Krishna consciousness. If we can give Krishna to others, that is the greatest kindness. Just like my beloved godbrother here, you still have the same Makan Lal Maharaj? Or they gave you a new name? Makan Lal Maharaj still? Makan Lal Maharaj? New name? Huh? Bhakti? Madhurya? Madhurya? Govinda Maharaj. When he was a young brahmachari in Berkeley, California in 1969, he was preaching out on Telegraph Avenue, and I was one of those wavered hippies. And he preached to me. He's the first devotee who preached to me, actually. So I'm very indebted to him. When I came here today and I saw him, oh, my heart melted to just have Darshana Maharaj, because he is the one who actually first preached to me. I'm so eternally indebted to him. It's a very special arrangement of Srila Prabhupada, and then he sent him there to Berkeley. And somehow I came in contact with this great Vaishnava, you see. So you're all very fortunate. Is he's staying here for some time or just passing through?
Staying.
Oh, how fortunate you are. So, yes. You see, Prabhupada has empowered his disciples to give Krishna. So if we have that opportunity to get Krishna from someone who has received Krishna from Srila Prabhupada, we should take that as the greatest blessing in our lives, you see. To be able to receive Krishna from such a personality who has gotten Krishna from Srila Prabhupada. So in this way, we can ourselves realize Krishna. Understand who is this great person who is the origin of all existence. In this way, we will not be misled by these asses like Stephen Hawking. You see, he said everything came out of absolutely nothing. I mean, how cold, how dry, what a miserable existence if everything came out of nothing. That means there's no purpose, there's no meaning. What you can do? It's just Camus, the French philosopher, he had that, the existentialist philosophers. They say there's no meaning. So what was the, how did he show that he fully believed in his own philosophy? You know what Camus did? He drove himself off a cliff and committed suicide. You see, life has no meaning. And so he said, yes, I fully embrace my philosophy that life has no meaning. I drive my car off a cliff. You see. And he was a heavy sense gratifier too, smoking cigarettes like anything. You see. So they may think that they're, you know, now I'm a big, big recognized professor of philosophy or a scientist, big, big scientist who can sell 10 million copies of my book. But where will they be tomorrow, you see? Where will they be tomorrow? Punar Musika Bhava. Now you're a big, big scientist, a big, big philosopher. Tomorrow you become a mouse. That's it. Because you've used your science, you've used your philosophy to deny God. So now you are finished. By your past pious activity, you've gotten this big, big position, a big business magnate, a big politician, a big rock and roll star, a big, big athlete, whatever you may be, big, big, big position. But you're using your position simply for sense gratification. So punar musika bhava, again, you become a mouse. So we have about 5 minutes left here now for questions. I need a human, you be my human hearing aid like we did last night. I'll let you do it. I can't hear very well, so I'll have him give the question in my ear. So any questions? Time for questions now. Questions, all questions are welcome. Anyone have a question? Here's a question, okay. Oh, chanting on beads and chanting on the clickers? Huh? You asking about clickers versus japa? Yes.
There are two people in the room. First one is chanting on counter and other is chanting on beads.
Right. Okay. Well, I can consult with Maharaj because he and I have both. Maharaj, have you ever seen Prabhupada at the time of initiation give out a clicker to a devotee? At the time of Diksha, he handed somebody a clicker? No. It's confirmed. I never did either. I mean, Maharaj and I have both seen initiations. Yeah? You have a clicker.
For a very long time, the very last time I used a clicker, I noticed that it was taking me way longer to chant japa. It was taking me way longer to chant japa.
Let me get a chant. What is it? My right ear. Put it in my right ear.
I concluded that Krishna didn't like it, so I stopped. I never touched a clicker again. You know?
So I got to get a translation.
It doesn't work for me.
Tell me what he's saying. Man. Come on. 1 minute. What? Yes. yes, that's if you read in the Bhagavad Gita purport, Srila Prabhupada explicitly states that the Hare Krishna mantra is meant to be chanted round the beads. Now, that means even if you put a think, well, I will glue one tulsi bead on my clicker and I will click on that tulsi bead. That still doesn't work because Prabhupada said round the beads, plural. That means round the beads. So, we didn't do this when Prabhupada was here. So far as I, in my experience in ISKCON, there was no devotee in the whole movement chanted on the counter when Prabhupada was present. There's a saying in English, when the cat's away, the mice will play. So I see that in Prabhupada's absence, there's a tendency we have to cog new things that Prabhupada did not give us. So the safest thing is to always follow those standards that were established when Prabhupada was here. And then you know you're doing the right thing. But if you take some new innovation thing, like clicker or other, you know, other things, then you're putting yourself in a risky position. Now, there are situations where one might have to use a clicker. If you're in communist China, if they see you with japa beads, they put you in prison. I mean, there could be a circumstance where a clicker would be required. Our philosophy is not fanatical. If a clicker was absolutely required, then that could be understood. But I don't see anyone that really, that I know of, that absolutely requires to chant on a clicker. Because the actual standard is to chant on the japa beads. So I, so far as my disciples go at least, who have to obey me, I instruct them no clickers, japa beads only. You see. Because if you're not following Srila Prabhupada's order if you're chanting on a clicker. He said to chant around the beads. If you're not following the spiritual master's order, what is your position? Whereabouts unknown. But I'm chanting Hare Krishna, Prabhu. But you're not following, you're not doing the way Prabhupada said to do it, Prabhu. You see? So, but at the same time, it's not that, well, I'm chanting on beads, so I'm a pure devotee, Hare Bol. The real thing is, what is the quality of your utterance? What is the quality of that utterance? What is the mood in your heart while you're chanting the name? That's the real thing. That's the highest understanding. All right, next question. All right.
Like you said about the chanting, our mind is too distracted by chanting and it's always distracted all over the place. While you chant also, we cannot concentrate for it. We cannot pray. So all of them is chanting.
Yeah, you do. I'll let Sri Ram do it. I can understand him better than you.
Okay. He's saying that his mind is distracted always while he's chanting.
So how to conquer the distractions? Yes.
Sometimes you feel like you chant, sometimes you don't
same. Sometimes he doesn't feel like chanting, but he still chants, and his mind is not on the chanting.
Yeah.
So how to?
Yeah. Sometimes because we're not pure devotees, sometimes we're, you know, our mind is absorbed in thoughts of material sense gratification. We become overwhelmed by laziness, lethargy, lustiness, greediness. So many things attack us. You see. So, of course, we have our duty to chant. So how to actually rise beyond all of this mental garbage and become absorbed in Nama Samadhi? You see, that is the question. So you have to see that this is garbage, mental garbage. It's like a storm, a mental storm that keeps you away from the focusing on the name. Now, an airline pilot, if he's flying the airplane and he encounters a storm, what does he do? He takes the plane to a higher altitude to go above the storm, because the pure name is actually there waiting for you. Within, beneath all the crud, you're a pure devotee, actually. You're a pure devotee beneath all the crud. So all you have to do is go deeper within your heart to come to that higher platform beyond all the mental garbage. So how to do that, that's the question. One technique is you just beg, Krishna, my dear Lord Krishna, I want to fully absorb myself in your name, but I'm being so much disturbed by these distracting thoughts. Please help me, my Lord. Please help me that I can be fully absorbed in chanting your name. Krishna will reciprocate like anything with such a sincere prayer. He will bless you that you can go deep into the name. And another nice way to do it, to get more absorbed in the name, is remember the wonderful instruction of Rupa Goswami. Tunde tandavali ritin vitanute tundavali lamdiye karma krodha kadambani kanarbhude vyaspriham chaita prangana sangini vijayate sarvendriyanam kritim no jane janita kriyanviramita krishneti varnirvai. You know the translation? Okay. Rupa Goswami is saying, I do not know how much nectar these two syllables Krishna have produced. Actually, Prabhupada told George Harrison he should make a popular song out of this mantra. It's a really, really special prayer by Rupa Goswami. He says, because when I utter these names, Krishna, when I chant in my mouth, I'm not only chanting, but they are dancing within my mouth. And those names are dancing in my mouth. I want to have millions and millions of mouths. And he says, and when those names enter the holes of my ears, oh, I want to have billions and trillions of ears. And when those names are dancing in the courtyard of my heart, my mind becomes completely conquered. And I'm stunned in a state of transcendental ecstasy. So if you can remember this about the name, you can dive into it deeply. Someone might say, well, what does Rupa Goswami mean anyway? What does he mean? Millions of mouths, billions of ears. What is he talking about? What does that mean? Well, there's one sweet which everyone enjoys, the old Iskan bullet, Gulab Jamun. Let's say so-and-so, Das Brahmachari, he had a wonderful day in Sankirtan. He distributed 10,000 books. And we made a special feast in his honor, you see. Special prasadam for him that night when he came back from Sankirtan. Say, Prabhu, you've broken every record. 10,000 books in one day. 10,008 books in one day. So now we're giving you a reward. Come to a warehouse. Now you can enjoy, Prabhu. There's 10 million gulab jamuns. Now you enjoy. Well, I appreciate your kindness, but how could I possibly enjoy 10 million gulab jamuns? I just got one little mouth and one little belly. You know, maybe five, two or three or four. I'm really fired up, maybe 10, but I'm like, 10 million gulab jamuns? I would be sick. It would kill me. How I can enjoy 10? But We will give you a special boon, so-and-so Das Brahmachari. We will give you 10 million mouths and 10 million bellies. So now you can really enjoy those 10 million glamchandas. So in this way, Rupa Goswami is saying, what this one little set of ears and one little tongue can do? There's so much nectar, how much I can get with my one tongue and one set of ears? So you give me, my Lord, millions of mouths and millions of ears, and then I can start to get at least a greater portion of that nectar which is available in the names. So Prabhu, if you remember that this name, Krishna, is oozing with unlimited volumes of nectar, it has so much gulab jamun juice in that name, that if you bite into that name, it'll squirt out that gulab jamun juice, it will fill up the whole universe and burst through the universal coverings. That's how much nectar is in one utterance, one pure utterance of Krishna. So if you remember the unlimitedly nectarian quality of this name, and don't just take it as some duty, well, I got to chant my round, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, finish. Remember, this is the greatest opportunity. Krishna himself, Golo Kara Prema Dana Hari Nama Sankirtana, Krishna has come all the way from Golok in the form of his name to bless you with Nama Rasa, Nama Ruchi, so that you can forget all this mundane garbage of this material existence and return to your home. This Nam is an airplane, and the wings of this airplane will take you back to Goloka Vrindavan. So if you remember this about the name, you'll be in good shape when you chant your rounds. Any other questions? Okay.
Guruji, Guruji, as you said, before performing any activity or what we see, we have to think the, it's noted on Krishna's book or in God's book. But we are in mode of influence. How, before we do, we do activity, we just do the activity. How we do this, how we think about this.
He says before doing an activity, how can I think of Krishna?
Before doing what?
An activity or something. He says, how can I think of Krishna?
Just think, you just do it for Krishna, that's all. Mat karo, yat karo shi yadas nasi yaj nabhoshi. That verse. Whatever you do it for me. So think, let me do this for Krishna. Let me do it in such a way that Krishna is pleased, you see. That's all. Everything for Krishna. Nothing for your own sense gratification. Everything for Krishna. You always think like that. Everything should be done for Krishna's pleasure. And every minute, how can I please my spiritual master? How can I please Srila Prabhupada? How can I please the Acharyas? How can I please Lord Chaitanya and Krishna? By this activity I'm doing right now. Let me do it in such a way that they are pleased. Everything. Prabhupada said, I always feel how my spiritual master is seeing me and blessing me at every minute. You see? So, how is Prabhupada able to feel that connection with his spiritual master? Because he's doing everything for his spiritual master's pleasure. As soon as you stop trying to do it for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna, then you lose your connection with them. And then it's miserable. But if you do it for their pleasure, you see, for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna, you act for their pleasure, then you feel how they are blessing you and seeing you and blessing you and guiding you. Prabhupada said that everything he did, Krishna was telling him everything. At every minute he was being guided directly by Krishna exactly how to do everything. So the only way we could ever hope to get such a connection with Krishna is we must do everything for his pleasure. That's it. Nothing else. Like Prabhupada said in his arrival prayer as we celebrated last night, he said, I'm simply a puppet. Now you make me dance, make me dance, make me dance as you like, my dear Lord. That's the moon. Krishna, you pull the strings, I'm ready to dance. Any other question? Okay. We'll stop here and we thank you so much. Especially I want to thank Maharaj for being here today to give me that wonderful feeling of how Prabhupada pulled me out using him to help from this ocean of material existence. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.